Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9. WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback, everybody. It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock on this, the Tuesday version of your favorite radio program. On the phone with us today is a very special guest, a familiar-sounding voice. That's right, Mr. Sean Duffy, Congressman Sean Duffy, reporting in from Crazy Town. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Seth. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Hey, before we get started into the heavy stuff, I saw a picture of you not too long ago. Well, you were doing the log thing. You were tossing somebody into the drink on a log. You were spinning the log. What do they call that?
Log rolling.
I was impressed, brother. I truly was.
Thanks, man. I grew up doing the lumberjack sports stuff, chopping, sawing, log rolling, tree climbing.
Sure.
All the skills of an old time lumberjack. Yeah. So the biggest competition in the country is up in Hayward, Wisconsin. They used to have these all over. All these small towns in the Midwest and the West Coast would have these lumberjack competitions, but they've all died off. And really the last big one left is the one up in Hayward. It's pretty cool. Last weekend in July, if anyone wants to plan for next year.
Well, I knew you were a professional lumberjack in days gone by. Not just one of these individuals that likes to wear the red and black plaid jacket, you know?
I like that too, though, Seth. We'll do it and we'll wear the plaid with it.
All right. Things have escalated since our last conversation. In the last time you were here in the studio, kind of an off-the-cuff conversation we had, and we touched on it briefly, was the situation in Iraq, where it seemed like it was a civil war getting ready to break out between the different tribes and the different religious sects that were there. And the attitude was like, hey, if this is civil unrest and if they can't keep the peace in their own country, no American should be involved with it at all. But you had a very, very poignant thing to say, and it caught me as very important, and it has basically come to fruition. You warned that if this was a group of extremists that were looking for a terrorist state to be established, that it was something that we would have to take a look at much more seriously. And what do you know? That's exactly what has happened.
That's what's becoming. Listen, and Seth, America's war weary. America has just got done with 13 years of war, and we're still in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's advocating for troops back on the ground in Iraq, at least right now. But if we don't stay engaged, I mean, if you look at the veterans who gave so much to make these gains in Iraq, and the president, because of political reasons, just walks away withdraws all our troops, doesn't reach a status of forces agreement with the Iraqi government, and he allows this fertile ground for terrorism to thrive and grow and expand, to acquire American weapons, acquire billions of dollars, this isn't just a threat to Iraq. Their stated purpose is not just to stay there in this region. Their stated purpose is to come after us,
yeah,
to go after Israel.
Yeah.
And so we need a president that's actually engaged in this process, who actually has a foreign policy position and set of principles. I was watching Meet the Press yesterday, and it's amazing that you'll have Andrew Mitchell and Chuck Todd basically admitting the president doesn't have any foreign policy strategy. Liberals admitting
right.
this of the president. Frightening.
Right. Well, and we can talk about that, too. You know, Hillary has come out and talked about the Syria situation and been very critical of the president. And I'll be perfectly blunt with you. I don't trust her criticism. I find it to be opportunistic. I know. I'm so critical. How can I be
right.
so cynical?
Would do that.
But prior to this situation, and I think it's very, very important for people to understand, Hamas, of course, going after Israel, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, other terrorist organizations that have been disruptive and have been very problematic in the region, all of these other groups to be in comparison to this group ISIS, you compare these other groups to ISIS, and it's child's play. ISIS is a very, very sinister, very evil, very real threat. They are taking extremism of the Islamic extremism. They are taking it entirely to the next level, beheading Christians, burying people, women, children, men alive. They are running amok in Iraq. Last time I read that they basically have control of, 50% of Iraq? They are much in control of Syria, and they are a very, very serious threat, not just to the Middle East, but they are now becoming a very serious threat to us. So the president has shifted, and we're now throwing some bombs into the area, trying to take them out. Sean, we're gonna have to do more than just throw a few tomahawks at them or a few cruise missiles or drop bombs from the air. You know that, right?
But that was just targeted for the most part at the folks that were on the mountain. So humanitarian aid and a few bombs that were directed ISIS's way.
Yeah.
What we know they're gonna do is they'll lay low for a little while until Obama's back on the golf course, and they'll resume their terrorist ways. I mean, they're rumors that they're beheading children, even Seth.
Yeah.
I mean, this group is the radical of radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And just so the president knew well over a year ago that ISIS was on the rise. He saw the power gains that they were making in Syria, the positioning and power grabs they were making in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That was known. American intelligence is impressive, and he did nothing. When this is now all blown up, and America and the rest of the world sees how radical and how powerful ISIS is, the amount of effort we have to make now to tamp ISIS down is far greater than it would have been a year
yep.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, if we do nothing now, it's going to be far greater a year from now or 2 years from now into the future, because they get that much more mobilized, that much stronger, that much more money, that many more radical jihad fighters that join their
yeah.
ranks, and it's going to take that much more American effort or world effort to put them back in place or take them out.
Well, and I know so, that...
But instead of being on the golf course, instead of being on vacation, these policy decisions take reflection, they take time, they take study, they take counsel of very smart people, and you have to be engaged in this process. And it just appears the president isn't engaged. He's more concerned about his vacation in Martha's Vineyard. He is more concerned about getting out on the golf course. And I mean, he ran for president because he said he wants to be president. And that means then do the work of being president.
Yeah.
You got to make tough decisions, but you got to make the right decisions as well. And he's not there.
Well, and you and I both know that you can do effective work while you're on vacation. You can do it.
You can.
He has the ability to be connected and to be informed. The problem is what you just said is a very key factor. The issue at hand, especially with ISIS, the Israeli situation, crushing Hamas, our southern borders being overrun, all of these issues take time to be studied, to listen to the advisors, to look at the potential outcomes of decisions. It takes time to study. And yes, I understand that there are times when you need to take a swim. You need to go play a little golf to clear your head and allow some things to sink in. But you cannot focus and study and make wise decisions while you're being distracted in an entertainment venue. It just does not happen that way. So, yes, I agree that he should not be taking vacation right now.
Or he's got 2 weeks in Martha's Vineyard. So,
I'm gonna go
up, honey. You go up before me with the girls. I'm gonna take a few days here by myself
yeah.
with my team, and we're gonna figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
I'll go a week later.
It's not happening.
That's the stuff I think that's important. And I would say you just mentioned all the crises in the world, whether it's our border. Iraq,
I didn't even touch on Russia yet. I mean,
Russia, Ukraine. I mean, things are horrible out there. What can you point to? Say, you know what? I'm proud of the president for the leadership that he's taken on the world stage to tamp out this issue, to address this crisis. He hasn't. I mean, there's mm-hmm. nothing that we can point to go, wow, this president has really done a great job with foreign policy.
Yeah, there's been a couple minor things that I have seen him do that I have plotted him and said, hey, you did the right thing, but they have been minor, very insignificant issues, but nothing on a major scale as far as our foreign policy.
I don't know what those be. I'm drawing a blank on anything.
I'd have to go back and find it because I can't remember. I know I've done it. Because poor Tom's jaw dropped on the floor. I've praised him on a couple things. But like I said, they were insignificant.
But if you applaud him and go, yeah, thanks for being engaged, Mr. President, and trying to help these folks that are stranded on the mountaintop, and thanks for sending them water and food. That's wonderful. But it's not enough.
Yeah. Let's do something about the reason they are there. The other thing that I want to make very clear about is, again, this group ISIS is nothing to be tampered with. This is to be taken very seriously. If they are allowed to continue as they are doing, they will embolden the other Islamic extremist groups that are out there, Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and all these other, all of these other extremists. They will embolden them. And what is entirely possible to see happening, I know a lot of people, here we go on conspiracy theory. The common enemy is us, the infidel. The common enemy is Israel. You get all of these individuals that would not get along together on a normal scale in any other given day, but you give them the common enemy, they will put aside their differences and they will join forces against us, against Israel. And we got a whole world to hurt. Sean, can you hold on through the break? Can we take a real quick break and then come back?
Yeah.
All right. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We will be right back. We're on the phone with Congressman Sean Duffy. We'll be right back.
The Wisconsin Morning News on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. On the phone with us is Congressman Sean Duffy. And we've been talking a little bit about the very, very serious issue of this ISIS. I don't know, you call it an uprising, you call it an invasion, but it is a very, very big problem. Congressman, some of the other things that have been going on, you've got a lot of other stuff that are is on your plate. What else have you been taking care of and dealing with in D.C. the last few weeks?
Well, we're as we navigate this dysfunctional process with the Senate. We've been passing bills. I'm in financial services.
Yeah.
So we've been passing bills that are trying to lift the regulatory burden on our small community banks and credit unions. That push continues, all those regulations that came from Dodd-Frank. Did we talk about the pictures that we had in foreign affairs that have come out of Syria? Did I tell you about that?
No.
No, I don't think I
no.
did. So in foreign affairs, which I just was put on the Foreign Affairs Committee. We had a hearing where an army photographer for the Syrian government, works for Assad, he took pictures of all these dead bodies and 50,000 mutilated, murdered, tortured men, women, and children. And
now these are Syrians, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
He snuck out of Syria with the photos. And he appeared before our committee with he had like a big rain jacket on, almost a kind of overcoat like you might have on if you're climbing a mountain, where a face mask comes around in front.
Right.
He had goggles on to hide his identity. He's fearful of his life. But the torture and the murder, the genocide that's taking place in Syria is unbelievable, and it's unreported. They were the most horrific, sad, terrible pictures that you'll ever see that he brought in and showed our committee. And again, the administration knows this.
Right. They, I was just going to say, the president of the United States knows this is going on.
Yes. And we sit idly by thinking that there's some other good force in the world that'll step forward and help address these human crises. And instead, America doesn't act and the world stands idly by as these horrific atrocities take place.
See, this plays into my theory that I believe President Obama wants the United States to not collapse. I don't think he wants to destroy us, but he wants us on the same level playing field as all other nations in the world. We all need to share in everything that the world has and share in the responsibilities. And the problem of that is that's not going to happen. The reason we are the leader that we are is because the world depends on us. We have what it takes. We have the internal drive. We have the sense of charity and of justice to put our lives on the line to take care of problems. And this is something I don't think he understands. And I don't think he believes that we should be in that position.
He doesn't believe in American exceptionalism, for no. one. But listen, there's a set of ideas and principles that we Americans believe in that, when applied to the world, is a force for good. It's a force for freedom. It's a force for liberty. It's a force for prosperity. And really, those dark places of the world, when America steps in, they recede. Because the goodness of America and the American idea prevails. We step back and we don't push that vision into the world. You look and see what happened. The bad guys, without a moderating good force in the world, I'm not saying we should be the police force of the world, but without the American force out there, they thrive, they grow, they expand, they take over, and you see a world that's ablaze without American leadership.
Yeah, and then you've got idiots
like...
This is
what happens. This is just the start of it, Seth. This is not the end. This is the beginning of what the world looks like without America in a place of prominence.
And then you got idiots like Joe Scarborough that comes out and says on his program, calm down. There's nothing wrong with the way the president is handling the crisis as far as ISIS is concerned. He's not ignoring it. He's dealing with it. He's not dealing with anything. There's nothing he's dealing with on a proper basis.
All usually, right. I watch Joe. I must have missed that that morning show.
It's my job. Job to inflict that on myself.
the poor guy's got to tries to still be a conservative on MSNBC. It's got to be hard for him. but as he plays both sides. Yeah. But you know, Joe might say that. But like I said earlier, You have Chuck Todd and Andrea Mitchell, who are not conservatives by any stretch of the imagination. They're even kind of going, listen, the president's absent. He's not involved. He's not engaged. Yep. He doesn't have a foreign policy. And so I think that as I kind of come back to, you know, being a conservative and conservative principles, I know a lot of people are depressed out there in conservative land. They're distraught about what's going on in the world and what not just what's happening in the world, but what's happening on the home front from this administration. I believe that we are at the cusp of a conservative resurgence if Republicans do it right and they stick true to their principles.
I do too.
I believe
I do too.
This is a time that that the country is going to yearn again for conservative, strong leadership. And I think as we look to the presidential election, as we look to this fall, there are a lot of really good candidates out there that will help bring us closer to, once again, strong, vibrant America.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, I'm up against a break, and I've got to run. Next time you're in town, why don't you stop by? I'll pour you a cup of the really bad studio coffee, and we'll talk about some of these strategies and things that we as conservatives and can do to fight liberalism. How about that?
I love chewing on your coffee in there, and that's great. And just to remind all your listeners, it is a primary day today.
Yeah.
Get out and vote.
Absolutely. Sean, thank you much for being on the show with us. I appreciate your time, my friend.
Bye-bye.
See you, buddy. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, we will be back, and we will take your phone call, 715-845-2155.
Rush, Sean, and the Wisconsin Morning News, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.